الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، our previous classes we've been discussing great important issues with regards to the proper understanding of the testimony لا إله إلا الله, to bear witness and testify that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. We have seen a number of points and benefits with regards to this Alhamdulillah, from a number of different aspects linguistically and from the understanding of the Arabic language, as well as from ayat, verses in the Book of Allah, and likewise from authentic narrations recorded by Bukhari, Muslim, and the likes, in the authentic collections from our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, this evening we'll continue on that way. Now we have two more texts. Two more great texts that are legislated to be repeated on a daily basis. On a daily basis, these texts specifically after the five daily prayers on a daily basis. And it is the hadith of Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah radiallahu anhu, which is muttafaqun alayhi, and the hadith of Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhuma, which is connected by Imam Muslim, and then from the Adhkar. Adbar al-salawat al-khams, min adhkar adbar al-salawat al-khams, is from the adhkar that are mentioned after the five daily prayers. There's a PDF that has been made available with those two narrations, and it's available in both the Masjid channel and the Muqtada Salafi channel, and also there are a few copies here, first come, first serve. So these texts here, again, these are narrations. The first one is Muttafaqun Alayhi, and the second one is in Sahih Muslim. And these are from the Adhkar. The Adhkar that are to be recited every day after every obligatory prayer. After every obligatory prayer. So this indicates the great emphasis, important, and importance put on these Adhkar specifically, that they're legislated to be repeated five times a day after every obligatory prayer. After every obligatory prayer. And there are words in these Adhkar here that are repeated over and over. The head of them, La ilaha illallah. And this statement here is referred to with regards to the tasbihat, التهليل. تهليل, التهليل. So you have تهليل, which means to say La ilaha illallah. And you have takbir, which means to say Allahu Akbar. And you have tasbih, which means to say Subhanallah. And you have at-tahmid, which is to say Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Only this is from the tasbihat. So we notice that in these adhkar here, there are a number of tahlilat. And the statement La ilaha illallah is repeated over and over. The statement La ilaha illallah is repeated over and over. Anyone who didn't get one? If you got one first, then that's yours, brother. Huh? There's PDFs. If anyone who didn't have it, there's a PDF. Anyone who didn't get it, there's a PDF. Yeah? Anyone who didn't get it, there's a PDF. You can follow along either on the PDF or, alhamdulillah, I didn't have time to print more copies, or I would have. I was rushing. Please excuse me. Barakallahu feekum. So these tahlilat, they're repeated over and over. So what we want to do is identify the issues and the knowledge that we have learned in our previous classes and the understanding of the shahada, and likewise find the proper interpretation. And this interpretation is clarified in these adhkar. And these adhkar are the statements of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if you want to ask someone to interpret the meaning of La ilaha illallah for you, who's better to interpret than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So we have taken that this statement, La ilaha illallah, is established upon two pillars, nafyu wa ithbat, and nafyu wa ithbat, negation and affirmation, encompassing negation, negating the right from worship, negating the right of worship from all things, and every manner and every aspect except Allah, and affirming that right for Allah alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Affirming that right for Allah alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, we have seen the issues of al-rububiyyah, and the issues of al-asma'i wa sifat, These are barahin al-tawheed. These are the evidences and proofs for the tawheed. And the more one learns about the rububiyyah of Allah and His actions, tabaraka wa ta'ala, and His beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection, the deeper and stronger that statement will take hold in his heart. It will become firm and solid and take deep root in his heart. And according to his knowledge of al-tawheed, his knowledge of al-rububiyyah and the actions of Allah Azza wa Jal, and likewise His beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection. So this is all found here in these narrations. So the first narration, again, is muttafaqun alayhi. So Bukhari and Muslim, both of them, rahimahum Allah, they mention with their chain, and warrad, katib al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah. قال أملى علي المغيرة بن شعبة في كتاب إلى معاوية أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يقول في دبر كل صلاة مكتوبة. والراد رحمه الله, he's described by المغيرة بن شعبة, and he used to write for him. He used to write for him. And it's known Mughira, likewise, he was a person of authority, governmental authority, and after the death of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said that المغيرة بن شعبة, he dictated to me a letter to Muawiyah. A letter to Muawiyah radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say after every obligatory prayer. And he said this is a clarification that the Sahaba after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they went out through the lands. They went out through the lands making jihad and likewise spreading knowledge and calling the people. Spreading knowledge and calling the people, but they still stayed in contact and they would write one another and send letters and treaties and the likes like this, advising one another. Even they would travel to one another to seek knowledge from them if they know that they have a narration that they did not have or that they were not certain about, so on and so forth. So this is an example of that. So Al-Mughira, he's writing to Muawiyah. From that which he's writing is the issue of these adhkar, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he used to say after every obligatory prayer. So even if we just ponder how this narration reached us, there's a scribe who's writing for a companion, who's writing a letter to another companion to clarify these adhkar, that they should be performed after every obligatory prayer. So this is something that's very serious. This is something that's very serious. So he says that in those adhkar, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would recite after every obligatory prayer, La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, lahu al-mulku wa lahu al-hamdu, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. Allahumma la mani'a lima a'tayt, wa la mu'tiya lima mana'at, wa la yanfa'u dhal jaddi minka al-jadd. Muttafaqun alayhi. The meaning, none has the right to be worshipped but Allah, alone, having no partner. To Him belongs the dominion, and to Him belongs the praise, and He is able to do all things. None can withhold what you give, and none can give what you withhold, and the share of a wealthy person will not avail him against you whatsoever. It will not avail him against you whatsoever. So this here, alhamdulillah, now it's in front of us, and now it's translated. Either you have it as a piece of paper in your hand, or the PDF is available in your phone or your device. So if you have not memorized it, now it's time to do that for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And if you have memorized it, now it's time to review that and to understand that, to ponder and benefit over this affair. And once it's memorized, it should be recited after every obligatory prayer. After every obligatory prayer. Rather, many of the people of knowledge and their ijtihad and their reasoning and striving to arrange the adhkar after this obligatory prayers, they would begin with this one. After saying, Astaghfirullah, 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 Allahumma anta salam, wa minta salam, tabarakta, ya dal jalali wal ikram. After that, we'll begin with one of these. We'll begin with this one. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. Lahu al-mulku wa lahu al-hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. Allahumma la mani'a lima a'tayt wa la mu'tiya lima mana'at wa la yanfa'u dhal jaddi minka al-jadd. So here we see that the tahleel is one in this narration, and it's followed up with the emphasis of that. So it's La ilaha illallah. We see what that means. La ma'buda bihaqin illallah. Negation and affirmation. None has the right to be worshipped but Allah. Wahdahu la sharika lah. What was that? Emphasizing the negation and affirmation. Wahdahu is emphasizing the affirmation. La sharika lah is emphasizing the negation. Lahu al-mulku wa lahu al-hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. To Him belongs the dominion. Yani the ownership and authority and the dominion of this heavens and earth belongs to Him. Meaning He is the one who created and brought it into existence. He is the one who has authority and command over it, and nothing happens except with His permission. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do we understand that? Lahu al-mulk. And because of that, likewise, wa lahu al-hamd. And all praises, it belongs to Him. All praise and thanks belongs to Him because He has the dominion. All the good that you have, all the protection, safety, and security that you benefit from in this life is from Him. And your deen and in your dunya. In your deen and in your dunya. So, lahu al-mulku wa lahu al-hamd. Lahu al-mulku wa lahu al-hamd. Wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. He has the ability to do all things, and he has the ability to do all things. So here we have the affairs, at-tawheed al-ilmi wa at-tawheed al-amali. At-tawheed al-ilmi wa at-tawheed al-amali. There is nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika la, alone with no partners. Alone with no partners. Lahu al-mulku wa lahu al-hamd. To him belongs the dominion, the authority and command of all things. Of all things. And for him belongs all praise and thanks. And for him is all praise and thanks. Wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. And he has the ability to do all things. And he has the ability to do all things. So the statement, La ilaha illallah, this is about a tawheed. Al-amali. You have to apply that. There's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. This is tawheed al-uluhiyya. And the wahdahu la sharika lahu, this is to emphasize that affair. Wa lahu al-mulku wa lahu al-hamdu, this is tawheed. At-tawheed al-ilmi. Which part? At-tawheed. Which part of at-tawheed al-ilmi? Tawheed ar-rububiyya. Wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. And he has the ability to do all things. This is also at-tawheed al-ilmi. But it's from tawheed al-asma'i wa sifat. From his attributes that he has the ability to do all things. So all aspects of tawheed are clarified here. All aspects of tawheed are clarified. Then even further, they emphasize, Allahumma la mani'a lima a'tayt, wa la mu'tiya lima mana'at, wa la yanfa'u dhal jaddi minka al-jadd. Oh Allah, no one can withhold what you have given. If Allah gives, no one can withhold it. And no one can prevent that. And no one can stop that. And no one can take that from you. If Allah provides for you knowledge, if Allah provides for you wealth, if Allah provides for you obedience, if Allah provides for you taqwa, if Allah provides for you family, no one can take that from you. Only Allah. La mani'a lima, no one can prohibit you or stop you or forbid you from anything in this life and the next except for Allah. The command is the command of Allah. Lahu al-mulku wa lahu al-hamd. Lahu al-mulku wa lahu al-hamd. Wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. Wa la mu'tiya lima mana'at. No one can give what you have prohibited. If Allah does not allow, it will not occur. Lahu al-mulk. Lahu al-mulk. If Allah does not allow it, it will not happen. You will not obtain it. You will not get it. It will not occur. It will not occur. It will not take place. It will not take place. No good or no bad can occur if Allah does not give it or allow it. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa la yanfa'u dhal jaddi minka al-jadd. And the person who has a share, a portion of this worldly life, it will not benefit him against you whatsoever. Any meaning a person who can't buy his way out of this. His status in the worldly life, or his position, or his wealth, his position in society, or in the authority, or in the governmental authority, or his wealth in the life like this, or with his tribe, that will not benefit him whatsoever against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only thing that will benefit with Allah azza wa jal is al-iman al-sadiq wal-amal al-salih, true and sincere faith coupled with righteous deeds. So also this is from barahin al-tawheed, and also clarifying the rububiyyah of Allah and his beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the first affair. We say la ilaha illallah one time here with emphasis, and then following up that with the barahin al-tawheed. The barahin al-tawheed, why you say la ilaha illallah, why none has the right to be worshipped but Allah? Because he has the dominion and authority in his hand. Nothing happens except with his permission. All praise belongs to him alone. All praise and thanks belongs to him alone. He is the one who has the most beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection. He is the one who is alive and never dies. He is the one who feeds and is not fed. He is the one who protects and none can protect against him. He is the one who is powerful and strong and never weak. He does not forget or get tired or sleepy. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, la ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. These are barahin al-tawheed. Barahin al-tawheed. It's legislated to say this every single day, 5 times a day after the obligatory prayer. After every obligatory prayer. But if you say it, but you do not know what it means, or you think it means something else, it will not benefit, or the benefit will be little. Or if you say it, even if you know what it means, but you just run your mouth and your heart is preoccupied and not thinking about these meanings, then likewise the benefit will be little to none. Be little to none. So to implement this knowledge now that we're learning, la ilaha illallah, to say it like you mean it. You say it with your tongue and you mean it in your heart and you know what you're saying. And you know what you're saying and you believe in that. لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. This is from the means to perfect the benefit of the prayer. You try to pray your best, following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam with a heart that is alive, and then you follow that up with seeking forgiveness and glorifying Allah azza wa jal and asking for safety and security from as-salam, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then you make tahlilat. Then you make these tahlilat. Then you mention, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. This is the hadith of Mughira ibn Shu'bah رضي الله عنه, which is متفق عليه. After that is another ذكر from the أذكار اعتبار الصلوات الخمس, the أذكار that come after the obligatory prayers, and many of the people of knowledge in their اجتهاد, they find that one should mention this one right after the حديث المغيرة. And Allah knows best because the حديث المغيرة is متفق عليه. And then after that is this narration here, which is in Sahih Muslim, which is also of utmost level of authenticity. So we have the narration of Ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu, عن أبي الزبير. عن أبي الزبير قال قال ابن الزبير يقول في دبر كل صلاة حين يسلمه. عن أبي الزبير, عن أبي الزبير محمد بن مسلم بن تدرس المكي. He's from the تابعين. He's from the narrators. On Jabir specifically, and likewise here on Ibn Zubayr, and likewise on Ibn Zubayr, Abu Zubayr Muhammad ibn Muslim ibn Tadrus al-Makki rahimahullah ta'ala, qala kana Ibn Zubayr, kana Ibn Zubayr yaqulu fi dubri kulli salatin hina yusallim. That Ibn Zubayr, he used to say at the end of every prayer, whenever he makes the salam, he used to say it at the end of every prayer, whenever he makes the salam. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله لا إله إلا الله ولا نعبد إلا إياه له النعمة وله الفضل وله الثناء الحسن لا إله إلا الله مخلصين له الدين ولو كره الكافرون. So in this dhikr here, Ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu, he would recite it after every obligatory prayer. Ibn Zubayr, he says, كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ يُهَلِّلُ بِهِنَّ دُبَرَ كُلِّ صَلَاةٍ. That the Messenger of Allah صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ used to say these words, and he, out loud, after every prayer. After every prayer. So we have again another scholar, student of knowledge from the Tabi'in, narrating from the Sahaba, this time that he used to do that himself. He used to do that himself. And then after narrating that, he as well narrated that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to do that. So after the obligatory prayers as well, one will make this dhikr. Again, لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. There is none who has the right to be worshipped except Allah, alone with no partners. For Him belongs the dominion, and to Him belongs all praise and thanks, and He has the ability to do all things. This has preceded the same. The same exact dhikr is repeated here. Again, the same as the beginning is the same. And here again, mentioning these affairs of at-tawheed. The affairs of at-tawheed. Tawheed al-uluhiyya, wa tawheed al-rububiyya, wa tawheed al-asma'i wa sifat, in that order. After this, in addition, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There's no power nor any might except with Allah Azza wa Jal. Meaning a person is not able to do anything, to move from one circumstance to another, to change from bad to good, or from good to better, to do anything in his life, to take advantage or any benefit whatsoever, except with the power and might of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this statement here, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, kanzun min kunuz al-jannah. This is a treasure from the treasures of Jannah, and it's kalimatu al-istiana. It's a statement of seeking the help and aid of Allah. So you say this statement, and whenever you say it, what you want by stating that statement is the help of Allah Azza wa Jalla. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Just like the statement, La ilaha illallah, is kalimatu al-ikhlas, kalimatu al-tawheed. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, is kalimatu al-istiana. And these affairs here are gathered in the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. You alone do we worship, and you alone do we seek help and aid from. You alone do we worship, and you alone do we seek aid and help from. So إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, this is the reality of لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ, this is the reality of لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Understand that? So كَلِمَةُ وَأَرِخْلَاصُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. You alone do we worship, O Allah. وكلمة الاستعانة لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وإياك نستعين. And you alone do we seek aid and help from. And you alone do we seek aid and help from. So when you need aid and help, you say لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. That's why whenever you hear the adhan and the muadhan, he says حي على الصلاة, Hayy ala al-falah. What is legislated for the one who hears to respond? This one he doesn't repeat after the mu'adhan. This one spot here, he changes what he says. What does he say? Kalimatu al-istiyana. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. I mean, I'm not able to ever possibly respond to that call or to have success whatsoever except with the permission of Allah. Except with the permission of Allah. So with kalimatu al-tawheed, a person who says that while he knows what it means and he's serious when he says it, and his heart is alive, full of that tawheed and uluhiyya, ubudiyya, for Allah Azza wa Jal, whenever he's saying that, it will remove shirk from his heart by the permission of Allah. It will remove showing off from his heart by the permission of Allah. The one who knows it properly and he says it properly. La ilaha iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Iyyaka na'budu. Iyyaka na'budu. This will remove the shirk. This will remove the riya and the wanting to be seen and the wanting to be heard. Wa iyyaka nasta'in. The one who says it, well, he knows what it means. Well, his heart is alive. He believes what he's saying. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This will remove the kibriya and the ujub, the arrogance and pride and self-amazement. Because he realizes that he's not able to do anything, any good that he has, or any benefit that he has, any success that he has whatsoever, it's only by the power of the might of Allah. It's only by the help and the blessing and the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal. So in this manner, a person, he will be steadfast and upright upon the creed of At-Tawheed, the creed of Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in. And this is what all of the prophets and messengers that came with alayhim as-salatu was-salam, alayhim as-salatu was-salam. So this is found here. This is found here. La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, lahu al-mulku wa lahu al-hamdu, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. Wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And then again, la ilaha illallah. Again, after that, following it up again, after mentioning the kalimat al-ikhlas, and then barahin al-tawheed, and then kalimat al-isti'ana, then you follow it up again with kalimat al-ikhlas. Again, and then the tafsir of that comes, the interpretation. What does that mean? وَلَا نَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ. And we do not worship anyone but him. And we do not worship anyone but him. وَلَا نَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ. This is the interpretation. وَلَا نَعْبُدُ, this is لا إله. إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ, this is إِلَّا اللَّهُ. So therefore the meaning of لا إله إلا الله, وَلَا نَعْبُدُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. وَلَا نَعْبُدُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. أَلَّا نَعْبُدَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. This is the meaning. This is the meaning. It's clarified here. This is from the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. La ilaha illa Allah wa la na'budu illa iyyahu. Then if one was to remind himself to think why? Lahu ni'matu wa lahu al-fadl wa lahu al-thana'u al-hasan. This is Allah, the blessing belongs to him. Wa ma bikum min ni'matin fa min Allah. When taruddu ni'mat Allahi la tuhsuha. Whatever you have a blessing is from Allah. Lahu ni'mah. All of the favors and blessings, all of the good that you have is from Allah alone. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if you try to count him, you cannot enumerate them. You cannot enumerate them. And no doubt that's the case. But we can definitely, by the grace of Allah, identify the most important and valuable of them and the most beneficial. And that is the statement here. La ilaha illallah. That is the statement here. The greatest blessing to be guided to this statement, to be guided to this favor. As we have taken in previous classes, the statement of Ibn Uyayna rahimahullah, whenever he said, in the Al-Dhamma, ni'matin an'ama Allahu biha ala ibadihi an 'arrafahum la ilaha illallah. Indeed, the greatest favor, the greatest ni'mah, the greatest bounty that Allah has bestowed upon his slaves is that he taught them la ilaha illallah. That he taught them la ilaha illallah. Lahu ni'matu wa lahu al-fadl. And likewise, all graces from Allah, all bounty and grace and favor, that the ni'mah, the blessing, the grace and the bounty is from Allah. Wa lahu al-thana' al-hasan. And for him belongs all of the best praise, any of the best descriptions. He's praised because of the best attributes. He has the most perfect attributes with no deficiency whatsoever. Not in any of his attributes. His life is perfect with no deficiency whatsoever. His knowledge is perfect with no deficiency whatsoever. His wisdom is perfect with no deficiency whatsoever. His mercy is perfect with no deficiency whatsoever. All of his attributes are in this manner. All of his attributes are in this manner. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're all perfect with no deficiency whatsoever. La, and then you follow it up again. La ilaha illallah. And you say it again. La ilaha illallah. None has the right to be worshipped but Allah. Mukhlisina lahu dina. Making the religion purely and sincerely, wholeheartedly for Allah. The religion, yani the obedience. Making the obedience and servitude, devotion for Allah alone pure. Walau kariha al-kafirun. Even if the disbelievers dislike that. Even if the disbelievers dislike that. So here we have them again. These are legislated here to be mentioned after every obligatory prayer. A believer, he will say, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. Lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. Allahumma la mani'a lima a'tayt wa la mu'tiya lima man'at. ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله لا إله إلا الله ولا نعبد إلا إياه له النعمة وله الفضل وله الثناء الحسن لا إله إلا الله مخلصين له الدين ولو كره الكافرون. This is legislated to be repeated 5 times a day after every obligatory prayer. After every obligatory prayer. How many tahlilat are there here in these two narrations? How many tahlilat are there here in these two narrations? How many times does the believer who recites this daily repeat the statement, La ilaha illallah? In the hadith of Mughira, one time, right? That's one time. In the hadith of Ibn Zubayr, how many times? One time in the beginning, and then another time, that's two times, and then another time, three times. Three times in this narration plus that time, there's four. There's four. So you say the statement, La ilaha illallah, and these adhkar here, four times. Each time following them up with the proofs and evidences of a tawheed. And even here, following that up as well, with the clarification of the proper interpretation and meaning of this statement, La ilaha illallah. You understand that? What is the meaning then? Allah na'buda illallah. مخلصين له الدين ألا نعبد إلا الله مخلصين له الدين. We take it here from the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in the hadith of Zubair. What does he say? لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. Now we want to focus on this part. لا إله إلا الله. What does that mean? ولا نعبد إلا إياه ولا نعبد إلا إياه. Understand that? This is the meaning of La ilaha illallah. Allah na'buda illallah. That we should not worship anyone but Allah. And then to emphasize, mukhlisina lahuddin. Mukhlisina lahuddin. So this is the meaning of the shahada. Allah na'buda illallah. Allah na'buda illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. Mukhlisina lahuddin. Allah na'buda illallah wahdahu la sharika lah mukhlisina lahu dinah. We should not worship that. We do not worship anyone but Allah alone with no partners, making the religion purely and sincerely for Him alone. Making the religion purely and sincerely for Him alone. Understand that? This is the meaning of the shahada. So this meaning of the shahada is clarified. This interpretation is clear here from the statements of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if there's someone who has a different interpretation, we have seen a number of examples of that. They try to claim that. Even if they have a book, for example, and they show you, you take them, you tell them whose interpretation is better, the man of who wrote this book or the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you bring him the most authentic narrations, narrations in Bukhari and narrations in Muslim. You say, read this. What does this say? Do you understand the meaning now? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah na'buda illallah. مخلصين له الدين ألا نعبد إلا الله وحده لا شريك له مخلصين له الدين. That's the meaning of the shahada. Never mind what they're talking about. Never mind what they claim. Never mind what they're talking about. Never mind what they claim. What they claim, this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clarified, whether he would say and he legislated, whether he would say, and it's prescribed for believers who follow his way likewise to say 5 times a day after every obligatory prayer. After every obligatory prayer. After every obligatory prayer. So the one who knows what he's saying whenever he says these affairs, he will benefit. The one who knows what he's saying whenever he says these statements here after every obligatory prayer, it will benefit him. Even likewise, we have seen as well from the requirements of the shahada is that a person, he must have bara'ah. A bara'ah from the meaning of al-Islam. The fundamental meaning of al-Islam is that a bara'ah to min ash-shirki wa ahlihi. Al-bara'ah to min ash-shirki wa ahlihi. Right? That's found here too. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. Even if the disbelievers don't like it, we worship Allah alone and nobody else. We make our religion purely and sincerely for Allah. Our obedience is to our Lord who created us and brought us into existence, even if the disbelievers don't like it. Even if they don't like it, it doesn't bother me. Even if they don't like it, it doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me at all. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. It doesn't bother me, right? It doesn't affect me. They don't like me, I don't like you. It's all good. I'm a Muslim. Alhamdulillah, I worship Allah. La ilaha illallah. وحده لا شريك له. لا له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير، لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا like this. لا إله إلا الله ولا نعبد إلا إياه مخلصين له دين ولو كره الكافرون. ولو كره الكافرون. These ideas, they must be deep in the heart of a believer. And again, these issues and these affairs, they're checked with the reins of the legislation. And these are from the affairs of the heart and the affairs of the emotions. And if a person does not check them with knowledge and sincere faith, then they'll run him. And he will transgress the limits. And that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about having love and hate for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla, according to that which is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jalla, not according to desires or whims. So even a person, he has allegiance for Allah Azza wa Jalla and he has enmity likewise, this does not mean he will transgress limits or violate rights of the people. It does not necessitate that, but he will stand firm and he will be clear on his way and his path in life, who he loves and who he's with, and who he does not like and who he avoids and stays away from, and how to deal with each one in a manner pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, traversing on the straight path that leads to his mercy, tabaraka wa ta'ala. So this is the meaning again of the shahada and la ilaha illallah. All of this is emphasizing this, Allah na'buda illallah. Negation and affirmation. Negation and affirmation. Allah na'buda, we should not worship. This is negation, right? La ilaha illallah. Illallah, we should not worship anyone but Allah. This is the affirmation. Wahdahu la sharika, Allah with no partners, emphasizing the negation and affirmation. Mukhlisina lahu ad-din, making the religion purely for him. Making the devotion, making the servitude, making the submission, making the love, making the obedience purely for Allah Azza wa Jal. Purely for Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah lillahi ad-din al-khalis. This is the one that is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we establish that in our life. Walau kariha and kafirun, even if the disbelievers, they dislike it. So this is clear. Anyone have a question now with regards to the meaning of La ilaha illallah? It's clear. What does it mean? What's the meaning of La ilaha illallah? La? La ma'buda bihaqin illallah. What is this about? What is the shahada about? What is the shahada about? It's about worship. Huh? It's about worship. The shahada is about? It's about ibadah. It's about worship. What about it? The worship is the right of Allah alone and no one else. So the shahada is about worship and there's negation and affirmation. What is being negated? The right of worship. From what? From everything besides Allah. And the right of worship is being affirmed for Allah alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the meaning of the shahada. This is the meaning of the shahada. Before this shahada will benefit, a person, he must bring the requirements. He must bring the requirements. At the head of those requirements is to have the proper knowledge and understanding of the correct meaning. Of the correct meaning. Understand that? So this is what the author, he moves on to discuss now. He says, Rahimahullah, ma hiya shurutu shahadati an la ilaha illallah. Alati la tanfa'u qailaha illa bishtima'iha fi. What are the conditions of the testimony, La ilaha illallah, none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, without which it does not benefit the one who states it. Without these conditions, it does not benefit the one who states it. So now the discussion is about shurutu La ilaha illallah, the conditions of La ilaha illallah. Some of the people of knowledge, they refer to them as shurut, conditions. Others, they call them quyud. Any requirements or restrictions, any things that must be present. Others, they consider them huquq, rights. All of them, they have similar meanings. All of them, they have similar meaning, conditions and rights and requirements in order for this statement to be heavy and beneficial in a person's scale. So now we're discussing the issue of shurut, conditions or huquq, rights or quyut, like some of the people of knowledge, they have mentioned. And this is very similar. This is very similar whenever we study, for example, the book of Tahara, or we study the book of Salah, or we study the book of Zakat, or the book of Sawm, or the book of Hajj. The first thing upon coming into these books and studying them is that you will learn the definitions of these terms and then the conditions. If you study Tahara, you will find that there's major and minor. For example, wudu. Then the wudu has conditions. right? Shurud. And then if you go to the ghusl janaba, it has shurud. If you don't bring the shurud of wudu, then you don't have wudu, right? Everybody knows that. If you don't bring the shurud of ghusl janaba, you don't have ghusl. It didn't remove the hadith. Also in the salah, there's shurud. Shurud al-salah, right? Shurud al-salah. We're familiar with these affairs, right? Also, if you go to zakat, the shurud. Also in some siyam, the shurud. The shurud before it's obligation, and it's the shurud before it's considered valid. Before it's considered valid. Like with al-hajj and umrah, the shurud before it's considered valid. So if a person didn't bring those shurud, then those actions of worship are not valid. If they're obligatory, they must be repeated. They must be repeated. The question now, is there any text in the Quran or Sunnah that says that the conditions of wudu are this many, and the conditions of ghusl, janaba, are this many, and the conditions of salat are that many, and actually the conditions of zakat are this many? Are there any evidences that you know of in the Quran or Sunnah like this? Are there? No. Everybody's quiet. Sleepy? No, there's no condition. There's no evidences like this. So where are these conditions derived from? How did the people of knowledge clarify this? The wudu has this many conditions, and the salat has this many conditions, right? How is this established? Huh? At istiqra. Ahsant. The people of knowledge, they say at-tatabbu' wal istiqra. At-tatabbu' yani tatabbu' an-nusus wal istiqra. تتبع النصوص واستقراءها يعني تتبع والاستقراء it means to examine in detail to read and go over and examine in detail. So the people of knowledge, for example in wudu, they will gather the evidences in the book and in the sunnah with regards to wudu, and then they will examine all of them in detail, and from here they will realize that the wudu is not accepted except with this condition, and they'll further study and also this condition and also this condition and also this condition. And from the conditions of salah is what? To have wudu, right? Rafa al-hadith. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَكْبَرُ صَلَاةَ أَحَدِيكُمْ إِذَا أَحْدَثَ حَتَّى يَتَوَضَّعَ. That indeed Allah, He doesn't accept the salah of one of you if he loses his wudu until he makes wudu. If he has a hadith until he makes wudu. So from here, the people of knowledge, they said, oh, this is proof here that you have to have tahara. You can't be upon hadith. The salah will not be accepted. So then tahara is condition for salah. So the Prophet didn't sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say tahara is a condition for salah, but he said, Inna Allaha la yakbaru salata ahdikum idha ahdatha hatta yatawadda. You understand? So derived from that text, it's understood and known that making wudu or having tahara is a condition for salah to be accepted. Wadih? And then they will move on. Likewise, Satr al-Awra, for example, even any the methodology of arriving at these conditions is amazing. How the detailed efforts, how the great effort that people of knowledge have made. So no one doubts about this. No one doubts that there are conditions for wudu, and that there are conditions for salat. And if you come to someone and you talk about conditions of salat, and you mention to them some evidences and the likes, they accept that, and it's very clear. In the same manner, barakallahu fikum, the shurut, the statement, la ilaha illallah, it has shurut. In the same manner. And these shurut, or hukuk, these rights, these conditions, they're derived in the same manner. So this is not something that the people of knowledge made up. Just like the conditions of salat are not something that the people of knowledge made up. Rather, the people of knowledge, they examined in great detail, and they followed up the different texts of the book and the sunnah, and the likes, until they realized and they derived from until they derived from there and realized that there are this many conditions for this issue and that many for this one. So in the same manner, the people of knowledge, they have derived these conditions from the text of the Quran and the Sunnah. They have derived these conditions from the text of the Quran and the Sunnah. The author himself, rahimahullah, he mentioned these affairs, yani in his poem Sulam al-Wusul, which we talked about. This is Allah knows best, a summary of that, a summary of the sharh of that, a summary of the explanation of that poem, Sulam al-Wusul. Huh? Sulam al-Wusul. What was the sharh name? The name of the sharh? Ma'arij al-Qabul. Ma'arij al-Qabul. Naam. And this much of this here is derived, and Allah knows best, summarized from that sharh. But in the poem itself, the author, he says, وبشروط سبعة كالقويدات وفي نصوص الوحي حقا وردت فإنه لم ينتفع قائلها بالنطق إلا حيث يستكملها العلم واليقين والقبول والانقياد فأدري ما أقول والصدق والإخلاص والمحبة وفقك الله لما أحبه. So he clarified here. وبشروط سبعة كالقويدات. And with seven conditions, this statement has been restricted, yani confined. Must be seven conditions. وفي نصوص الوحي حقا وردت. And in the text of the revelation, in truth, they have come. Meaning these seven conditions are not made up by the author or any other scholar. Rather, they're derived from the text of the revelation. And that is in the Quran and the Sunnah. وفي نصوص الوحي حقا وردت. فإنه لم ينتفع قائلها بالنطق إلا حيث يستكملها. Because indeed the one who states this shahada will not benefit from them until he gathers all of them. Until he gathers all of them. And then he mentioned them. العلم واليقين والقبول والانقياد فادري ما أقول والصدق والإخلاص والمحبة وفقك الله لما أحب. So these are beautiful lines of poetry. We should memorize them. Those who are able to memorize all these lines here. وبشروط سبعة قد قيدت وفي نصوص الوحي حقا وردت فإنه لم ينتفع قائلها بالنطق إلا حيث يستكملها العلم واليقين والقبول والانقياد فادر ما أقول والصدق والإخلاص والمحبة وفقك الله لما أحب وفقك الله لما أحب. Even he's making dua for you. Even if he's making dua for you. So these are the conditions. And the point is now that these conditions are derived from the text of the Quran and the Sunnah, and the person, he will not truly benefit from the Shahada until he brings them. Until he brings them. But the people of knowledge, they clarify, barakallahu fikum, about bringing them, what is intended and what is required is to bring them in application. Is to bring them in application. If a person, he learned them and memorized them and understood the evidence, where they're derived from, and memorized that likewise, he can repeat it, it's running off his tongue like water. But he violates them in application, or he's negligent in establishing the rights of them in application, they will not benefit, or the benefit will be little in his right. And maybe someone, he's a ammi, he's a layman. He's a layman. He's not a great student of knowledge or a scholar. He doesn't memorize a lot of texts, any issues in the light like this, but he brought them. He understands. He knows what it means. He's truthful with Allah. He has certainty about that affair. He loves the shahada. And he strives to establish it. He's truthful in his shahada with Allah, in his dealings and his business with his people, with his family, within the market. He's true. He established him. He complies to the commands of Allah. But if you ask him, what are the conditions like? He's Allah, madri. He can't name them like that. He can't name them like that. You understand? But he has gathered them and he implements them and applies them. And this is the aim and goal. So to mention them like this and to learn them, no doubt, is beneficial. But the main goal and aim from that is to apply it, is to apply it and to implement it. And this is what will benefit a person. This is what will benefit a person. So we learn the knowledge in order to apply it, in order to make it easy and facilitate it to apply. But even if a person, he did not know them like that, he's not able to number them, 1, 2, 3, 4. He's not able to mention evidence and proof for each one in the likes like this. But he, in his life, he has established them. And from his understanding of the shahada, alhamdulillah, in general, then his shahada will be heavy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Will be heavy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the author, he says, shurutuha sab'a. Its conditions are seven. Al-awwal, al-ilmu, bima'naha, nafyan wa ithbatin. The first one is knowledge of its meaning, both in negation and affirmation. We spent the last three or four classes on this affair. We spent the last three or four classes on this affair here, number one. Al-thani, استيقان القلب بها. The second is certainty in the heart regarding it. After we have studied these evidences in this manner, this was the aim and goal that we hope from Allah Azza wa Jalla to achieve and to reach. Or if we had it before, alhamdulillah, now it will be even more firm and solid. By seeing the evidences in the Arabic language, the evidences in the Quran, the evidences in the Sunnah, seeing the fact that it's repeated five times a day in the adhkar, this meaning is established here in this manner. Time after time, proof after proof, this is the means to reach al-yaqeen. Because al-yaqeen is kamal al-ilm. Kamal al-ilm. Yaqeen, certainty, is the perfection of knowledge. And the perfection of knowledge comes by studying time after time, issue after issue, proof after proof, until that knowledge takes root in the heart and it's like a mountain, deeply rooted and firm. And we know that the mountains are like pegs, right? They're like beds, the pegs. The majority of the mountain is underground. And so the shahada, you see it in your life, and you say it on your tongue, but it's deep in your heart, deep in your heart. Inshallah, it will never be uprooted. Inshallah, because you have certainty, because you've seen the evidence, you've seen the proof, even in your own self, even in your own, even in your own family, even in the food that you eat. All of these are signs. La ilaha illallah. The circumstances that you go through in life, things happen to you in the likes, good times and bad times. La ilaha, all of that, la ilaha illallah. All of these are evidences. La ilaha illallah. So now you have certainty, alhamdulillah. This is the second condition. الثالثة الانقياد لها ظاهرا وباطنا. The third is submission to it outwardly and inwardly. الرابع القبول لها فلا يرد شيئا من لوازمها ومقتضياتها. The fourth is acceptance of it without rejecting any of its requirements or implications. الخامس الإخلاص فيها. The fifth is sincerity in it. Any in that statement, we say it's sincerity for the sake of Allah. لا إله إلا الله. Nobody paid you to say that. Nobody paid you to say that. You don't care what they think about. You say it for Allah. La ilaha illallah. Your shahada is for Allah. La ilaha al-ikhlasu fiha. As-sadis, as-sidqu, min samim al-qalbi, la bi lisani faqat. This one is supposed to come down. As-sadis, as-sidqu, min samim al-qalbi, la bi lisani faqat. The sixth one is truthfulness. The sixth, truthfulness from the depth of the heart, not just by the tongue. Min samim al-qalbi. Like they say, from the bottom of the heart. You say from the bottom, in English we say from the bottom of the heart. And what do you say from the bottom of the heart? What does that mean in English? Somebody says, this from the bottom of the heart, from the bottom of my heart. Meaning that I can't be more sincere. From the bottom of my heart. Right? So this is how you say, Sidqan min samim al-qalb. You say the shahada la ilaha illallah from the bottom of your heart. Understand that part. You mean it from the bottom of your heart, wholeheartedly. La ilaha illallah. La ma'budu bi haqqin illallah. Wahdahu la sharika lah. Wa la na'budu illa iyyah. Mukhlisina lahu ad-din wa law kariha al-kafirun. You say it from the bottom of your heart. As-sabi' al-mahabbatu laha wa li ahliha. Wal muwalatu wal mu'adatu li ajliha. And the seventh is love for it and for its people and allegiance and enmity based upon it. Based upon it. These are the conditions, these are the seven conditions the people of knowledge they have mentioned. The people of knowledge they have mentioned. It's been connected by Bukhari ta'liqan. And meaning he didn't mention with his chain and he connected, but it's authentic. That he mentioned Qila li Wahb ibn Munabbih. It was said to Wahb ibn Munabbih. He's from the Tabi'in, from the scholars of hadith. Alaysa la ilaha illallah miftahul jannah. Is not la ilaha illallah the key to paradise? قَالَ بَلَى. He said, of course. وَلَكِنْ لَيْسَ مِفْتَاحٌ إِلَّا لَهُ أَسْنَانٌ. He said, but there's no key except it has teeth. There's no key except it has teeth. فَإِنْ جِتَّ بِمِفْتَاحٍ لَهُ أَسْنَانٌ فُتِحَ لَكَ. So if you bring the key that has the teeth, it will open for you. وَإِلَّا لَمْ يُفْتَحْ لَكَ. And if not, it will not open for you. If not, it will not open for you. So this is a beautiful response, clarifying the deep knowledge and understanding of the shahada by this great scholar of hadith, Wahab ibn Munabbih, rahimahullah ta'ala. Is not la ilaha illallah the key to paradise? Is not la ilaha illallah the key to paradise? Yes, it's the key to paradise, but every key has teeth. So if you bring the key that has the right teeth to the right lock, it will open for you. But if you bring the wrong key to the wrong lock, it will not open for you. Subhanallah, if you ponder and think, even sometimes the key, one key, it's the right key. But what happens after time if you don't take care of it? The key wears out. The key wears out. If you put it in, it goes in, but it doesn't open right away. It doesn't open right. Sometimes you got to move it around and you got to do it like up and down, left and right. And then inshallah, bismillah, Allahumma yassir, right? You make dua and then clack, it will open eventually, but not right away. Subhanallah, this is very similar to the shahada. This is very similar to the shahada. If you keep it clean, you keep it strong, you keep it firm, you cherish it, it will open right away. You will meet Allah and He will be pleased with you and not angry. You will meet Allah and He'll be pleased with you and not angry. You enter paradise. You will not be taken to account or taken to reckoning. You will not be disgraced. You will not be humiliated. You will not be scared. You will not fear. You will not have any grief. You will not have nothing but happiness and joy, peace and ease. Into the paradise from the deeds that you used to do, by the deeds that you used to do, from the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's whenever the shahada is here, is strong and firm. But others, the shahada is there, but it gets weak. It gets weak. And when they meet Allah, it's not strong enough to get them in paradise without reckoning. It's not strong enough to get them in paradise without reckoning. It's tainted, it's weak, it's stained, it's deficient. So before it will get them in paradise, it must be cleansed. It must be cleansed. You understand that? So some people, they have the shahada, but they want to enter paradise right away because the shahada is not strong enough for them. They didn't cherish it in the manner that is required. Although they did not violate the rights to the extent that it was uprooted. That it was uprooted. So it's not that ilaha illallah the key to paradise? Yes, it's the key to paradise, but every key it has teeth. And if you bring the key with the right teeth, then the door will open for you. And if you do not, it will not open for you. It will not open for you. وَقِيلَ لِلْحَسَنِ الْبَصْرِ رَحِيمَهُ اللَّهِ إِنَّ النَّاسَ يَقُولُونَ مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. It was said to Al-Hasan al-Basri, another great scholar of the Tabi'in, that people, they're saying that if you say La ilaha illallah, you enter paradise. And whoever says La ilaha illallah, you enter paradise. فَقَالَ مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ فَأَدَّى حَقَّهَا وَفَرَضَهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. He said, whoever says La ilaha illallah and performed its right and its obligations, and performed its rights and obligations, then he went to paradise. And to emphasize these affairs, the people of knowledge, the people of knowledge from the Salaf, from the Tabi'in, this is their understanding. This is the understanding. So these conditions here, they're the teeth on the key. They're the teeth on the key. These conditions here, they're the hukuk and the fara'il. You understand that? They're the rights and the obligations, the requirements. So it's not just a statement, you just say it like that, and it's all good. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, and then you call on a grave. Huh? Or you worship a man. Wariyadha billah. Wariyadha billah. Or you follow your desires. Nah. There's conditions, there's requirements. There's rights that must be fulfilled for that statement to be heavy. For that statement to be heavy. وقال الحسن فرزدق وهو يدفن امرأته. الحسن, he mentioned to فرزدق رحمهم الله, while he's burying his wife. And فرزدق is burying his wife. ما عددت لهذا اليوم. What did you prepare for this day? What did you prepare for this day? And he's admonishing him. And they're burying the wife of the other. And Hasan says to him, while he's burying his wife, what did you prepare for this day? قَالَ فَرَزْدَقْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ مُنْذُ سَبْعِينَ سَنَةً. He said, I have prepared la ilaha illallah for 70 years. For 7 years, I've been preparing the statement for this day. La ilaha. فَقَالَ الْحَسَنْ نِعْمَ الْعُدَّةِ لَكِنْ لِلَا إِلَهِ اللَّهِ شُرُوطًا. فَإِيَّاكَ وَقَذْفَ نُقْصَنَاتِ. He says, this is such a great preparation, but لا إله إلا الله has conditions. So I warn you from falsely accusing the innocent righteous women. Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah, he's admonishing him. He asked him, what have you prepared for this day? And the day that you'll be buried. He said, I have prepared لا إله إلا الله منذ 70 سنة. I prepared the statement La ilaha illallah for 70 years, getting ready for this day. He said to him, Ni'mal udda. This is such great preparation. Lakin li la ilaha illallah shurutan. Lakin li la ilaha illallah shurutan. But the statement La ilaha illallah, it has conditions. Fa'iyaka wa qadfa al muhsanat. So I will warn you from falsely accusing the innocent righteous women. It's mentioned he had fallen into this affair. He's warning him from that, meaning that these sins and actions of disobedience and anything greater than that, likewise from disbelief and nullifiers of the religion, they have an effect on the shahada. This is the understanding of the salaf. Al-Hasan al-Basri, he died in the year 110. And likewise, Wahab ibn Munabbih, Wahab ibn Munabbih al-Yamami, he died also in the same year, 110. So they're all students of the Sahaba. This is their understanding, that La ilaha illallah is not just a statement that you say it, rather it has a proper understanding and a correct and intended meaning. And before a person will benefit from that, he must know that. He must know that. And then likewise, there are other conditions. So after this, the author now is going to mention, rahimahullah, each condition one by one and discuss the evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah in a brief manner. In a brief manner with regards to each one of these points. With regards to each one of these points. In his work, Ma'arij al-Qabul, he went into an extensive discussion, mentioning evidence after evidence after evidence for each point. Here he only mentions maybe one or two sometimes three evidences from the Quran, one from the Quran, one from the Sunnah, any for each point, which is sufficient. So there are many evidences with regards to the virtue of the statement La ilaha illallah, and the promise for the one who states that statement to enter paradise. And this is and these are and some of them are general narrations, general evidences like that. من قال لا إله إلا الله دخل الجنة ومن كان آخر كلامه من الدنيا لا إله إلا الله دخل الجنة. Whoever says لا إله إلا الله went to paradise. Whoever his last words from this worldly life is لا إله إلا الله went to paradise. But in examining all of the evidences with regards to this affair, we'll find that there are also other issues mentioned, any requirements, that it's not absolute like that. That a person, he would just say la ilaha illallah only, and it will benefit. No, their evidence is clarifying that it must be upon knowledge. Their evidence is clarifying that he must be sincere. Their evidence is clarifying that he must be truthful. Their evidence is clarifying that he must love this affair. Their evidence is clarifying that he must comply and submit an application. Their evidence is that clarify he must accept that and accept the law and legislation and accept the halal and haram and believe in the permissible and permissible. Their evidence is clarifying these affairs. Clarify these affairs specifically with the shahada. So before the shahada will benefit, these conditions must be present, all of them. Just like before a person has wudu, he must bring all of the conditions. If he brought one condition but left another, it will not benefit him. Likewise in salah, if he has salah, he brought one of the conditions of salah, but he left another one, it will not benefit him, right? Maybe he made wudu, but he didn't face the qibla. What, he knows which way it is, right? It would not be accepted from him. He will not be accepted from him because this is a condition of the salah. This is a condition of he made the wudu. He made the wudu and he faced the qibla, but he didn't cover his awrah. He didn't cover his awrah. Is the salah going to be accepted? Huh? Why not? Because covering the awrah is a condition. This is something that's well known. So likewise, with the la ilaha illallah, a person, he has to have knowledge. But if he has doubt about that, he will not benefit. If he has certainty about that, but he doesn't comply to it, he doesn't implement the minimum requirements to establish that faith, to establish that statement, then it will not benefit. If he brought them all together, but he did that negligently, likewise, it will be light in his scale. It will not be heavy in his scale, and he will not benefit from it in the manner that is hoped until he brings these issues entirely, any precisely, any for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, whether he knows them or doesn't know them. But to know them is going to be from the greatest means to help him actualize this affair and to establish it in the manner prescribed. So again, the author he mentioned in Sunan al-Wusul, وَبِي شُرُوطٍ سَبْعَةٍ قَدْ كُوِّدًا وَفِي نُسُوسِ الْوَحِي حَقًّا وَرَدَتْ فَإِنَّهُ لَمْ يَنْتَفِعْ قَائِلُهَا بِالنُّطْقِ إِلَّا حَيْثُ يَسْتَكْمِلُهَا العلم واليقين والقبول والانقياد بدر ما أقول والصدق والإخلاص والمحبة وفقك الله لما أحب. Who can repeat that? وبشروط سبعة قد قيدت وفي نصوص الوحي حقا وردت فإنه لم ينتفع قائلها بالنطق إلا حيث يستعملها العلم واليقين والقبول والانقياد فادر ما أقول والصدق والإخلاص والمحبة وفقك الله لما أحبه.
سبعة قد قيدت نصوص الحق
الوحي آمين. Yes.
وبشروط سبعة قد قيدت وفي نصوص الوحي المرود فإنه لم ينتفع قائلها بالنطق إلا حيث يستكملها العلم واليقين والقبول والانقياد فدر ما أقول والصدق والإخلاص والمحبة وفق الله لما أحب.
آمين. اللهم بارك. أحسنت. Somebody else is not in the mad. Allahumma barik. Allahumma barik. Allahumma barik. Abu Abdullah. Sure. Tomorrow.
Sure.
Tomorrow. Who's gonna bring it tomorrow? Right. Inshallah. Al-Sakina. Gadin. Tomorrow, inshallah. Who else? Who else? I'm gonna take you up on it, inshallah. The other. وَبِي شُرُوطٍ سَبْعَةٍ قَدْ قُوِّدَتْ وَفِي نُصُوصِ الْوَحْيِ حَقًّا وَرَدَتْ فَإِنَّهُ لَمْ يَنْتَفِعْ قَائِلُهَا بِالنُّطْقِ إِلَّا حَيْثُ يَسْتَعْمِلُهَا الْعِلْمُ وَالْيَقِينُ وَالْقَبُولُ وَالْإِنْقِيَادُ بِقَدْرِ مَا أَقُولُ وَالصِّدْقُ وَالْإِخْلَاصُ وَالْمَحَبَّةُ وَفَقَّكَ اللَّهُ لِمَا أَحَبَّ. You got it now? It's too fast. وَبِي شُرُوطٍ سَبْعَةٍ قَدْ قُوِّدَتْ وفي نصوص الوحي حقا وردت فإنه لم ينتفع قائلها بالنطق إلا حيث يستقبلها العلم واليقين والقبول والانقياد فدر ما أقول والصدق والإخلاص والمحبة وفقك الله لما أحبه. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.